Grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay Marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouth-watering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
The Pelosi-Biden regime is destroying our economy with reckless spending. Charlie Kirk here. That's not even worthy of being called news. So what should Americans do to preserve your hard-earned cash? Well, there's an under-the-radar investment the richest people in America use to protect their wealth during times like this. It's one of the oldest and most stable asset classes of all time, and thanks to a new revolutionary tech platform, everyday Americans can finally access it for the first time. So what is it? High-end art. In fact, contemporary art outperformed other assets like gold, real estate, and the S&P 500 by nearly twofold from 1995 to 2020. That's amazing considering this historic bull run we just saw. A lot of people are trying to hedge their portfolios so they have a wait list, but my audience is in great luck. We have a special link to let listeners jump to the front of the line. So go to masterworks.io/Kirk. That is masterworks.io/Kirk. Before deciding to invest, carefully review the important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids with five simple truths. One, you cannot legislate the poor into prosperity by legislating the wealthy out of prosperity. Two, what one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. Three, the government cannot give to anyone anything that it does not first take from someone else. Four, you cannot multiply wealth by dividing it. Five, when half of the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half will be forced to take care of them, and the other half realizes that it does no good to work because the government will take what they have worked for and give it to people who have not worked for it, that is the beginning of the end for any nation. I'm Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, 369-1321. 369-1321, 369-1321.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Biden administration has announced that they will appeal a lower court ruling that lets a Texas pro-life law take effect all the way to the Supreme Court. Texas Right to Life Legislative Director John Segoe says no court has addressed whether the Texas law is constitutional yet.
The question of constitutionality is not going to be avoided. I think that's one of the things that our critics are saying, is that, you know, this is avoiding judicial scrutiny.
Segoe says they expect the case to go to the Supreme Court. The law bans abortions once cardiac activity is detected, which is usually around 6 weeks. Attorneys say the Parkland school shooter plans to plead guilty next Wednesday.
Attorneys for Nicholas Cruz, the gunman who killed 14 students and three staff members at a Parkland, Florida high school, say he will plead guilty to their murders. Circuit Court Judge Elizabeth Shira wanted to make sure Cruz understood what would be next.
I need to advise you that the state is going to be using this conviction in this case as evidence of an aggravating factor for purposes of arguing in favor of the death penalty. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
The 23-year-old will be hoping for life without parole during the penalty phase. The judge hopes that trial begins in January. I'm Shelley Adler.
Police departments that are requiring officers to be vaccinated against COVID-19 are running up against pockets of resistance across the U.S. Police unions and officers are pushing back by filing lawsuits to block the mandates. In Chicago, the city's mayor is going to court against the leader of the police union after he called on officers to ignore an order to report their vaccination status by Friday. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 382 points, the Nasdaq rose 73, the S&P 500 advanced 33. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then just 3 months later, a U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others.
Anybody out there with a fallen angel? A fallen angel. Roger.
Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Alex and Orlando De Castro Verde are third-generation lawyers and lifelong Nevadans. They built De Castro Verde Law Group personal injury on their family principles. When you've been injured, they'll fight the insurance companies, seek maximum compensation, and stand by you the entire way, just like family. De Castro Verde Law Group personal injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
It's 3:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash powered by De Castro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, a windstorm is blamed for a canopy collapse at an East Las Vegas grocery store. In August, the front of the La Bonita supermarket fell to the ground, injuring four people. The engineer hired to figure out what happened said on that morning of August 13th, a windstorm made its way through Las Vegas and caused the damage. Why the engineer believes a windstorm caused that damage was not explained, but the National Weather Service says the maximum wind gusts on that day did not exceed 25 miles per hour. Clark County's COVID-19 test positivity rate continues its downward trend, dropping 0.1% to 6.9. Nevada's two-week rolling rate continues its nearly two-month decline, dropped another 0.1% to 7.9%. The Vegas Golden Knights suffered more than just the loss of their young NHL season last night. Their first loss, the Golden Knights team captain Mark Stone left the game against the LA Kings in the second period. He was helped to the locker room. Team officials say Stone is dealing with an on-again, off-again issue. They are now 1-1. Season 6-2 is the score.
It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Got a crash on the Southern Beltway, 215 eastbound. That's after Gibson. The right lane is blocked in that incident. Also, heavy volumes through the resort area of Interstate 15, north of Charleston, south at Oakey, and only two lanes available due to construction, 515 east at Main and 515 westbound at Eastern.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local for a Friday. You know what happens on Friday. On Friday on this show, we get all excited. Today, we're going to have a major announcement for you coming up in just a bit. But in the meantime, what we do on Friday is we celebrate the best day of the week.
Man, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Friday.
What day is it?
It's Friday.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday. It's the day that we celebrate. We try not to take ourselves or what we talk about too seriously. Most importantly, on Fridays, we have fun. There is an amazing story that's out there. I saw this on Fox News the other day, and it's really an incredible, incredible story. The National Education Association, the NEA, the Teachers Union, the nation's largest public sector teachers union with a budget of over, what is it, $300 million, sued a Rhode Island mom for asking what her daughter would be taught in kindergarten. Now, that sounds like pretty basic stuff. We all want to know what our kids are being taught. Critical race theory or whatever? No. We get to ask. I mean, these schools, they work for us. But that's not the way the NEA sees it. Nicole Solis is that Rhode Island mother who was sued by the NEA, the National Education Association. And she joins us. Nicole, thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule on a Friday to be with us. Really appreciate it.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
Take me back to the beginning, because I'm dying to know how this whole thing began. You have a daughter in kindergarten. You want to know what she's being taught, which seems like a pretty reasonable request. Take us back to that period. How did you get involved in your daughter's kindergarten?
This goes back to April or May, and I wanted to know what my daughter would be learning in school, specifically if she would be learning critical race theory and gender theory. So I called my school principal and asked if they would be learning these radical ideologies, and they actually answered in the affirmative, and they said that they don't call children boys and girls in kindergarten, they don't use gendered terminology, and they embed the values of gender identity into the classroom. And then with critical race theory, they said that they teach children a certain line of thinking about American history in every grade and at an age-appropriate level. And in kindergarten, they ask children what could have been done differently on Thanksgiving when they learn about the first Thanksgiving, and that's obviously a way to shame them about their American heritage. So when I ask them what other practices they have and what other exercises they do and what other questions they ask kids, they shut me out. They told me to submit public records requests. They wouldn't answer my questions directly. And then when I submitted what the school thought were too many public records requests, they turned around and put my name on a public school committee meeting agenda, and it said that they were going to discuss or take action against Nicole Solis for filing over 160 public records requests. So they were having a public meeting threatening to sue me for doing what they told me to do, which was submit public records requests. And all this time, they were, you know, responding to my requests. They were asking me to clarify certain questions. They could have told me to stop submitting requests, and they could have just answered my questions over the phone and email, but it looks like they set me up. So they had a five-hour meeting where they bullied and harassed me. They said that I was causing chaos, trying to harm the district, that I must be such a terrible, evil, immoral person for submitting all these public records requests about critical race theory. They let people speak against me and call me racist in public comment. It was truly a show trial. But I had a tidal wave of support come out to support me, and people were very angry that the school district did this to me. I mean, they had never even met me before this school committee meeting. I had never even been to a school board meeting before. And they ultimately decided not to sue me for asking questions about education. But then a month or so later, maybe 2 months later, the National Education Association did sue me in order to prevent the disclosure of public information that would come out of my public records request, because they're saying that if this information came out, teachers would be harassed, right? So they're claiming that whole victim narrative. We can't have information come out about critical race theory being taught because our teachers will be victims of harassment. Now, of course, no one wants anyone to be harassed. What they're really trying to do is immunize their teachers, who are government workers, from public scrutiny. And the way that they're doing that is to bully and harass me with frivolous litigation. So the Goldwater Institute is my pro bono representation. Of course, I could never afford to defend myself without pro bono representation. And here we are now. It's been, what, 6 months of this, 4 or 5 months? It's been quite an adventure, to say the least.
I know that, at least here in Nevada, if you're going to change curriculum on same-sex bathrooms or anything like that, that there are public hearings. Were you aware that these that this curriculum stuff was being implemented by your school district? Did you know that up front before your daughter got to the school on the first day of classes for kindergarten?
No, I didn't know. I didn't have the curriculum. They wouldn't give me the curriculum. I had to submit a public record request for the curriculum. What I did know was that a year, around the time George Floyd died, the school committee had released a statement saying that they were pledging allegiance to Black Lives Matter. And they said the school is systemically racist and they have to eliminate all systemic inequity. And, my daughter was like 3.5 or 4 when that happened, so I wasn't really paying attention. And then once I enrolled her, I thought, let me see if they're really doing this whole systemic racism thing in school. And sure enough, they are. I found tons of evidence that they're teaching kids this really radical ideology, teaching them to look at the color of each other's skin first. So a lot of this I got just by looking at what they posted on their website by themselves. So I encourage parents to really investigate what's already available to you on your school's website, and then submit public records requests and ask questions about things like equity, because that's code word for critical race theory. It's code word for discrimination based on race. So there are lots of ways you can get information from your school district, and you kind of have to be an investigator of your own school district.
Again, Nicole Solis joining us, a Rhode Island mother who was sued by the NEA, the National Education Association. Nicole, I'm just guessing here, you're not the first parent, I'm sure, in your school district to ask the district about the curriculum that's being taught to their kids. Did they support you at all? Did they come to your aid?
No, my school district stonewalled me. So
No. I'm talking about the parents.
Other parents.
That you're not the first parent that's come forward and said, "What kind of stuff is my kid being taught?"
I think I was. My daughter's entering kindergarten, so I didn't really know any other parents in my school district. Like, this is when you start to get to know other parents because you start school. So I was kind of on my own. I don't know what other people were doing. And I think I was the one who really blew the whistle on this, because that's when I started posting the evidence that I was finding on my own. I didn't really get a ton of evidence from my public records requests because they were so uncooperative. But with giving me the actual information. So I don't think other people were paying attention until I started drawing people's attention to this.
The FOIA request that you sought, how much information did they give you? I mean, did they give you everything? Do you feel like you got everything?
No, actually, the Goldwater Institute resubmitted a request on my behalf, and their request had very targeted keywords like equity, Zinn education, Black Lives Matter, because when you submit public records requests, you have to be really specific with what you're asking for. And sometimes when you ask for something, they'll get away with evading your question because they don't literally have a document that has the exact word that you asked on it. So if you say, I want curriculum with critical race theory involved, they'll probably come back and say we don't have that because they don't write critical race theory in the curriculum because they're hiding it with all these buzzwords. So the answer is no. They want to charge me $74,000 with Goldwater's request. And, of course, that's not reasonable. Who can afford that? I'm certainly not paying that, and neither is Goldwater. So I don't have the information that I'm looking for. What I did get was the curriculum, and you, again, have to be an investigator and try to figure out what these code words mean. You got to click on links to professional development of teachers, and then sure enough, you'll click on a link and find, oh, they're teaching teachers about, like, white supremacy and how they're white supremacists. This is so terrible and depressing. So it's still a battle, but it's not over yet.
Was this the first member of your family in the district? Is your daughter the first going through?
Yeah. Yep. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and she's my first child that I enroll.
Can I ask, is your daughter still enrolled in that school district in Rhode Island?
Oh, no, no. I was really too scared that she would be targeted by teachers, by anyone in the school. So I placed her in private school, and I asked the private school directly if they were teaching anything with critical race theory or gender theory. They're a Catholic school, and I know some Catholic schools are teaching this, but I made it very clear that I was leaving my school district because of this, and, you know, they could just tell me up front if they are doing this, but they're not, and they welcomed me with open arms, and I feel much better now. You know, I felt not safe in my school district because they even hired a PR firm to craft a defamatory statement about me, and it was read on the national media. Another statement was read at my school board meeting. So that was really like the psychotic move that opened my eyes to how incredibly dysfunctional my school district was, and I realized that there's no way I could keep my daughter there. It was really a matter of like safety at this point.
After the Goldwater Institute got involved, the NEA, my understanding is they have backed down off their lawsuit against you. Is that right?
No, that's not exactly right. So they have a lawsuit where they want declaratory relief. They want a judge to come in and say, okay, we're not going to give Nicole this information. But they also had a temporary restraining order that would allow, it would buy the district time where they didn't have to respond to my request until the hearing. They withdrew that temporary restraining order because they didn't have a legal basis for it, which is more evidence that they're just harassing me with frivolous litigation. So the temporary restraining order is gone, but the actual lawsuit is still on.
I am curious. So what happens next in this process? Are you prepared to go forward with this and defend this lawsuit?
Yeah. So the Goldwater Institute answered with summary judgment. They want the case thrown out, and they are also countering with anti-SLAPP litigation, which is. They're saying that this was strategic litigation against public participation. In Rhode Island, we have an anti-SLAPP statute that's really strong, and it says that if you're going to sue someone just because you want to put them through the trouble of a lawsuit because you don't like their public participation in the community and in government matters, which is what I was doing, right? I was publicly participating in public education by submitting these public records requests. Well, if you do that to someone, you're in trouble. So we have requested compensatory damages and punitive damages and attorney's fees. So really this teachers union just opened up a door for to be punished. And now they're going to have to pay me for all the trouble that they're putting me through.
I am curious, relative to this whole thing, did your school district ever or did anybody from the district ever come up to you, take you aside and say, hey, I'm really sorry about this, or this is just something we got to do? Did anybody ever express any remorse at all for what they put you through?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, we there were school board members that resigned, but they resigned because they're big fish in a small pond and they can't take the heat of national attention. So, you know, that they should have apologized to me for defaming me. They should have apologized to me for even putting me through that 5-hour meeting where they were bullying me. But instead, you know, they're morally absolute. They believe that they are right. They think that I'm some evil person who doesn't believe in their quasi-religious beliefs and that I'm somehow morally inferior to them. And there won't be any apologies. They view me as the enemy, and other parents are viewed as the enemy too, right? You know, we have Attorney General Merrick Garland saying we're not just enemies, we're domestic terrorists, right? Because we're we have legitimate concerns about our kids' education, and now we're going to be targeted by the FBI. So
yeah,
there's no apologies coming, but can
I tell you though, Nicole, I so admire what you have done. I am curious, have other parents come forward and challenge this, or could this eventually become a class action lawsuit that you're involved in? Are other parents coming to your aid at this point after looking at what they've done to you?
Yeah, after the initial retaliation, I have a support network that is so huge. I've never had more friends in my entire life. the other day I was driving and in my town or in a neighboring town, and someone at the opposite end of the intersection flagged me down because they recognized me in my car, and they pulled me over, and now we're friends, and we're going to go get coffee. So I want parents to know that it's scary at first when you want to challenge your school board, but people will want to support you once you get over that initial hurdle. And now I have parents in other towns in Rhode Island that are challenging their school boards and talking about critical race theory. So there's really been this great domino effect. It's exactly what I wanted to happen, because this was a conversation that had to be had, especially in Rhode Island, because our school districts are so dysfunctional, thanks to the Rhode Island Department of Education. And I'm hoping that this can start to turn the tide.
And I'm assuming one can go to the Goldwater Institute and get more on your story. Is that right?
Yeah, the Goldwater Institute, they have a great blog post about this, and they're continuously updating the case. You can also go to my Twitter, which is Nicoletta0602. NICOLETTA0602, and I'm posting updates as soon as I get them.
Nicole, I admire you so much. To you and your family, best of luck. Keep us posted on how this is going, and I know we will probably talk again.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, Nicole.
You too.
Nicole Solas. She is the Rhode Island mom who was sued by the NEA. What an amazing, what an incredible story. And a mom that simply wanted to ask questions about the curriculum that's being taught to her kindergarten age child. That is incredible. But it's happening all over the place, folks, and it's probably happening here in Nevada. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand. Take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
I'm Little Timmy. I'm a tax person. I know numbers good. What are deductions? Audits sound fun. Let's get an audit.
You wouldn't let Little Timmy do your taxes because he's not an expert and would get you arrested for tax evasion. So when your car needs repair, stick with the experts at Meineke Car Care Centers, your one-stop shop for total car care. Get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a free lifetime warranty. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy, known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. The financial world is full of buzzwords, and one that I've been hearing lately is called decumulation. And here to break that down for us is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. So, Coach, decumulation, I know that's one of your favorites.
Don't you love the word, the allergy? There's so many words, so many definitions. It all comes down to this, Steve. Whatever you have, you need to keep. And whatever you keep, you need to make sure that you can benefit from. And you benefit by having your own lifetime income account. So, how do you keep things, though? Still, Coach, I'm in the market. It's up and down all around. How do I keep it? Well, you form an exit strategy and a liquidation strategy where you know when your stocks hit a certain point, you're going to take a certain amount of that money out of the market and put it in a place you can never lose it again. Sort of like the nest egg accounts. The geese used to sit on the nest and it would hatch big golden eggs. We can have your very own golden egg. Here's how you do it, Steve. You get away from all the terminology out there in the world. And there's two main terms that mean a lot, income and you. How much income are you going to get, and how much is your spouse going to get? Everything else really doesn't matter to you. You really need to make sure you have that total plan in place. We call it a financial fill-up strategy. Now, It all comes down to retirement planning and how to create that retirement income you can never outlive. There's a lot of people out there talking about giving you retirement income, but it expires. We can't have an expiration date on our income. Our income needs to outlive us. That means you and your spouse, and also your income plan should not disappear when you and your spouse are gone. Whatever's left should go on to your next of kin. That's possible, Steve, to have a total retirement plan and a total income plan, but you have to get it done, and you have to get it done in writing. So the next 20 people call, we'll do it for you right now. That's a $1,000 value, no fee or obligation.
A fantastic offer, Coach. Don't let this one slip by.